Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about foundations this month, and actually the foundation.
Yes.
There's only one foundation, and that is Christ Jesus. And once we understand that, once we take our stand on the gospel, take our stand on Christ Jesus, we find unshakable, unmovable ground. Storms can come, all sorts of things can be thrown at us, but when we're standing on Christ, when it's all said and done, we're still going to be standing. Mm-hmm. Why? Not because of anything that we've done, but because of Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
So Paul talks about that quite often in all of his letters, and here in Ephesians chapter 2, he's talking about the church, and he's talking about this one new man that God is building through the gospel of Jesus Christ that is made up of both Jew and Gentile. And so he says, consequently you, and he's speaking specifically to Gentiles, are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens. So now we're fellow citizens with the people of God. We're a part of the people of God. Says you're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You know, we have this sense of belonging, or we that's a need in our hearts. We want to belong to something. We want to belong to something that's bigger than ourselves. That's where we get some meaning and purpose. That's why family life is so vitally important. If we find our place within a family, life just starts to make sense. All the pieces start to fall together. We have all kinds of clubs and organizations. When I was in college, I was in a fraternity. Well, that was a place where I felt like I belonged. I had friends. There was a connection. There was something that held us together as a group of people. And we went out and did a lot of charitable things, and it was great doing those causes as a group of people. And we had successes, and so those became my successes. And I took great pride in the wonderful things that our fraternity did in college. Well, we're involved in something even greater, and that's called the body of Christ. We're members of his household. And this body, this new unit, is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So this church is built upon Christ. He's the cornerstone. And a cornerstone was that piece that would be put in place that would hold the rest of the foundation together.
Yes.
And would be the supporting block for everything else that was built upon it. So the cornerstone was the most significant piece. And then the foundation is the teaching of the prophets and the apostles. So this church isn't built on made-up stuff. This church isn't built on the latest philosophies. It's not built on the things of this world. It's built on the teaching of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So all of it is something that has come down and has come about because of the work of God in Jesus. So the teaching of the prophets, man, they didn't make up those stories. They were given the very words of God to utter to the people of God. And their utterances, their prophecies, had to do with Jesus. Now, the apostles, they are the ones that were given the revelation of what Christ's finished work actually meant to us. And where did that come from? Well, not from their minds. It came from God himself. So God worked through the prophets to give the message of Christ in the Old Testament. He's working through the apostles, or he worked through the apostles to give the message of Christ in the New Testament. Jesus is the cornerstone that holds all of that together, and that's what the church is built upon. So if we're going to find strength in this world as far as impact and relevance, we have to really take our stand on Christ and the teachings of the Word of God. That's where we find our strength. That's where we find our foundation. And because we belong to Christ, that's where we stand. That's good news, isn't it?
That is good basic gospel news right there. 844-322-2742. We have plenty of open lines right now. We want you to come in and be a part of this edition. 844-322-2742. And we so very much appreciate the many of you who stepped forward with a gift at the end of the year. And because of what you did throughout the year, we were able to reach out to people all across the United States, Canada, and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we all need to partner together to keep reaching out to new hearts and lives with the truth of this new covenant. This month, we're making Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, available to all of you who step up and help us keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. Again, donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. And that book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is certainly something that has been ministering to people over the last couple of years. It's a very clear presentation of the gospel message. It really deals with the foundation, who you are in Christ. Are you forgiven or aren't you? Do you have eternal life or don't you? Can you be assured of that? Do you have to live in doubt? Do you have to approach this thing with a bunch of guesswork and hopes and wishes? Or can you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and saved forever?
Yeah.
What does it mean to walk in freedom? How is this Christian life really supposed to work? Those are the questions this book addresses, and it's benefiting people all over the world. They're really finding their center in Christ. They're finding their assurance in Christ. They're finding their hope in Christ. They're finding their victory in Christ. Yeah. And it's really helping them in every area of their lives. It's helping strengthen their marriages, making them better parents. So I strongly encourage people taking advantage of this this wonderful resource. So make a contribution today at basicgospel.net, and when you do, request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We'll get it to you as quickly as we can.
Indeed, and of course, we're studying through the study guide of the same name, derived from the book, of course, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, every Friday on Basic Gospel, and tomorrow will be no exception. We will be here, and we will be studying through that study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky. She called with a great question yesterday. I'm glad she called back so we can talk about it today. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yes, I want to know why, if you've been given the mind of Christ, why, now my mind's keen in why, I've forgotten the rest of my question.
Well, so why do we still make mistakes? Why do we still blow it sometimes? If we have the mind of Christ, why do we still make mistakes? And that's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So, Richard, where in the Bible does it say that we have the mind of Christ?
That's in 1 Corinthians 2, after the section where Paul talks about that we can't conceive of the things that God has for us, but they've been promised to us, and, you know, things of God are spiritually discerned. And he ends with this great statement, but we have the mind of Christ. So we're... because of that, that's the indwelling Spirit, we can understand the things that the Spirit reveals to us. The problem is that I've also got my own mind, and Bob's got his mind, and you've got your mind. So there's a battle there, and it's right down the line consistent with the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit is indeed, as the mind of Christ, is giving us the right answers every time. I just don't always listen to them, or I'm not paying attention, or I'm willfully wanting to do my own thing regardless. And so it's just that battle that we fight every moment of every day to continue to walk by grace through faith instead of on our own.
Yeah. So the things, Mary Jo, that influence our mind, so we have the Spirit of God who lives in us, and so he gives us the mind of Christ. That's what Richard was just talking about. Well, we live in a world, and this world has influences that stand opposed to the things of God. So we take input from the things of the world. That can impact the mind. We have flesh living in us and on us, and within that flesh is sin. Sin lives in our members, and that flesh can influence the mind, and certainly we take in things through our senses, through our five senses. Those things can influence the mind, and so we make choices. And sometimes we make choices, our will gets into play, and we make choices based on what the world's told us. And we make choices based on what this flesh of ours has told us. And that's when we make mistakes. That's when we go down the wrong path, when we choose to listen to the information that has been given to us, not by Christ Jesus himself or the Spirit or the Word of God, but by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Does that make sense?
Well, it's sort of complex in a way, isn't it?
Well, it is complex, but here's how we can simplify it. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You have the Word of God in front of you. If you will just allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to inform and shape you and step out on faith, everything becomes simple. All those other voices can just become noise in the background. Here's a great example for you, Mary Jo. My daughter, Caitlin, who is 24, when she was growing up, started at the age of 10, she started playing softball. And when she started playing softball, she was new. She didn't really know a lot about the fundamentals of the game, but she started learning. And one of her big struggles early on with softball was how to hit a ball. And boy, she would strike out most of the time. And every time she got up to hit, she kept getting more and more frustrated, and everybody in the stands were just hoping, maybe this time she'll hit the ball. Well, after each game, you know, all the dads would go down and say, Caitlin, if you'll just do this, you'll hit the ball. And then the next dad would come up and say, well, if you'll just do this, you can hit the ball. And boy, it was just a whole barrage of information, all of it confusing to her. So finally, we hired a coach, and we asked this coach to teach Caitlin how to hit a softball. And so we told her, he said, you're going to have all these parents trying to tell you what to do and how to do it, but I want you to only think of your coach's voice. What does your coach tell you to do? And let that be the one voice that you listen to. So it's the same in our walk of faith with Christ Jesus. We have a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of noise, and that noise is trying to compete in our mind. But we have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the Word of God living in us. Let's let that be the one voice that we listen to. And when we do, man, certainty becomes our friend. Confidence starts to grow. And we really get to experience the life of Christ in its fullness. So simply recognize that there are many voices out there. There's only one worth listening to, and that's the voice of Christ Jesus himself.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
We sure appreciate your call.
I want to hear the rest of the story, though.
Well, here's the rest of the story. Caitlin became one of the best hitters in softball.
All right.
Yeah, she did.
She became a monster at the plate. And she became known for her power and her home run abilities.
Yeah.
And right. Just about every time she was up, everybody expected to see the ball go flying over a fence. And we got to see that many times. Her grandparents told her every time you hit a home run, we'll give you $100. Well,
oh,
they became broke. So.
Little motivation.
Yes, yeah. yes, indeed.
Yeah. 844-32. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and getting back to the story, the reason that happened is because she just drowned out all the other voices and just listened to that one voice, that coach's voice.
Yeah.
And boy, that became her motivation every time she got up to bat.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same for us. We've got to just choose to listen to the voice of Christ that's given to us through the Spirit and through the Word of God.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We have got plenty of time on the clock and open lines. 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners. And if you're hearing this program during the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, you can call and speak with us live right now and get a direct answer for your particular question. Or if you're hearing it at some other time, you can go to basicgospel.net/ask, and you can post your question by recording, or you can write it right there, basicgospel.net/ask.
Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. My question today is, if God will accomplish his will with or without us, then what's the importance of us participating? Let me add some context to give you a better idea of why I'm asking this. So as I've shared with you guys before, I go really hard on myself when I make mistakes. Like yesterday, for example, I was giving a speech. And afterwards, I realized something that I didn't even think to say, that if I had said it, it might have been helpful. And then my mind goes, well, in order for me to have a positive value by the things that I do that are good, then there must be a negative value if I don't do them. Like, there has to be pressure. I have to feel important. I have to feel necessary. And I was asking God about this, and the truth that I know from the Bible is that God works in all things for the good of those who love him, even if I screw up. And then my flesh is like, but that's too easy. There has to be some pressure. There has to be some consequences if I don't do it. Otherwise, why don't I just sit at home and do nothing? So my question is, obviously we don't do good works to be saved, but where do they fall into this gospel message? Where do they fall within the scope of the purpose that God has for us?
Great question, Chris. And I think it gets down to the very essence of the gospel. Christ came into this world that we might have life and have it to the full. And I think as we participate and share in the very life of Christ through faith, then we get to experience that life to the full. So, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the things that we would like to have in life. Those are things that we can't have just through human effort. We can't make those things happen. Jesus is the source of that. So when we participate with him, we get to see those in abundance in our lives. We get to experience those things to the full. And I think that's the benefit. You know, I want to be able to go through life with a sense of peace, with a sense of contentment. I don't want to be stressed out and trying to make a name for myself or trying to do this. I want to have a sense of peace and contentment in Christ. So participating through faith is what gives that contentment to me. And that contentment grows and starts to fill all those spaces within my soul. I want to be joyful, and I want that joy to be my strength through thick and thin. As trials and tribulations come my way, I want the joy of the Lord to power me through those things. And so how do I get the joy of the Lord? Well, it's there because Christ is living in me. And I get to experience that as I walk by faith in him. So we just get to participate in the divine nature, as Peter put it in his first letter, and that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty awesome and amazing. It's much better than what we can participate in as far as the world is concerned. So as we participate through faith, and that's what this life is all about, by grace through faith in Jesus, we're going to see this life start filling up and overflowing in our lives into the lives of others. And that's the greatest reward of all. That's the greatest benefit of all. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And actually, I had suspected, too, that the reason why God still has us participate, even if he's going to do stuff himself, is because it allows us to come to know him better. And like you said, that's where our life comes from. It's not from our activities, although they're good to do. And I suspect that at the root of this is a misunderstanding of where my value comes from, because I like to look to my actions. I like to feel important, But what happens when I fail? That means my value goes down like the stock market. And so I just need to keep my eyes on Jesus. It's just so counterintuitive sometimes because it just goes against everything that I think sometimes as far as like my purpose and value go. So, but yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like this, Chris. God created us in his image. And so that all changed when sin entered into the world. That image got all tarnished and messed up, and we didn't reflect that image back to the world. But now in Christ, that vocation has been restored to us. So because Christ lives in you, Chris, you're an image bearer. So as you go through your day-to-day life, you're reflecting the image of God through faith in Jesus to a lost and dying world. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you do that at your workplace. You do that in your home life. You do that in your church life. You do that wherever you are because Christ is alive living in you. And as you walk by faith in him, then that image is being reflected out there to the world. Now, you may not know, you may not be able to quantify how that is happening and how it's impacting people. And if you tried that, you would probably miss the mark in saying, hey, this is what really made a difference over here. But the fact of the matter is you are an image bearer. You're a witness. You don't have to go out witnessing. You don't have to go out and try to reflect. Simply walking by faith, that image is being projected out there. And so people are getting to see what Christ is like because you're choosing to walk by faith in him.
That is actually, I just realized something as you were talking. It gives me a reason to take delight in Jesus's living in through me. And if I keep my eyes on that, see, you're exactly right. It's like when I try to say, oh, if I had done this and I would have been more helpful, but because I didn't, then people aren't being helped as much as they would have. That is not keeping my eyes on Jesus's life in and through me. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, then I can trust him to do what's most beneficial. He's going to live his life in and through me the best way that he can, the best way that's even possible. So that was great. I really appreciate your advice. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for always proclaiming how the good news of the gospel is so real and practical and how it fits so perfectly into our struggles. And thanks for making yourselves so available. I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Thank you for everything you do. Well, and you have a great rest of your day.
Well, you do as
thanks,
well,
Chris.
Very thanks nice. For your call. You always ask great questions, and we sure appreciate it. And that's what it is. I mean, we have to understand who we are in Christ, the fact that we're in Christ, that Christ is in us, and from there, everything else flows. So if we'll just understand that and really dig into that and find out what that means to us and how we truly walk by faith, then we don't have to worry. God is going to take care of the rest. He's going to reflect his life in and through us. And boy, what a great calling and a great purpose that we have as believers.
Absolutely. Chris, thank you for your very, very good question, and thank you for the encouragement that you are to us. Well, folks, keep in mind that because of what you did in 2016, we were able to reach out into the hearts and lives of people across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. We so very much appreciate the many of you who stepped forward with a gift at the end of the year to help us move into 2017 on solid footing. One of the important ways that we reached out was through Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And this month, we're making Simple Gospel, Simply Grace available to all of you who help us keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Keep in mind also that we are studying through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide every Friday on Basic Gospel. Tomorrow, we'll be back with that particular study. We hope you're able to join us for that as well. But again, just click donate at basicgospel.net in the meantime. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We'll be back, as said, tomorrow, and we hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.